Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. And don't forget this weekend as the Run to the Roses is on at the Kentucky Derby. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join using our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Early Duncan had it. They turned it over. Alley-oop back to Kevin.
Oh, baby! Woo! KD!
You can see it coming, and the building is electric off that slam dunk.
Catastrophic.
Hello and welcome back to the Believe in Timberwolves podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Brendan Hedke, and I am sitting here with Doug West. Doug, how are you doing today?
Oh, just great. It's a great Saturday. You know, we haven't connected in the last week. So, you know, a lot has transpired since then. You know, just wish the weather was better today. But
yeah,
besides that,
it's the weather is actually good here. It's like 70. It's sunny. It's not windy. Oh, the weather's been fantastic the last couple of days here. I do want to apologize though to everybody listening for not being able to record over the last week or so. It's not because I've been in a depressive state over the Wolves getting bounced from the playoffs. I've just been pretty busy and just haven't been able to do this, but we are here now to kind of just wrap up, I guess, Wolves playoff loss talk, maybe to touch on a couple things offseason wise, and then talk about the rest of the playoffs because the NBA is still going. So we need to talk about the other four series that are going on and just kind of update on that. So let's start with just talking about, I mean, the whole Wolves playoff series in general, the game six loss that we haven't talked about yet. I guess what's your overall feeling of this Wolves season now that it's officially done? They had the playoff series. What's your feeling on the season, the series there, you know, looking forward us also?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking back on the season, it was a successful season. You know, the team won, you know, 46 games. Players stepped up, accepted their roles. The team was exciting. You know, they played with great energy, tempo, played together for the whole season. You know, Coach Finch came in, did a wonderful job getting them to buy in to his offense, getting them to buy into his defense. And they just had, you know, outstanding, you know, team season and some individuals, you know, Cat stepped up his game to another level. Ant stepped up his game, you know, where we're just looking at it, you know, so excited for what the future holds for him. I think, you know, some bench players got to show their worth. And all in all, it was a great season with a playoff run, you know, keeping the playoffs interesting, you know, actually You know, we can sit here and debate it, but really had a chance to win that series. Right. You know, had the lead deep into the fourth quarter and majority of the games. So, you know, it was a successful season. I think a learning season and something to build on.
Yeah. And I don't think it's like you said, I don't think it's debatable that they could have won that season or that series against Memphis. I think it's debatable if you're saying they should have. And a lot of people think that they should have because of how many leads they had. They led for over 75% of the minutes, but they definitely could have. They could have won that series, which I guess is a positive sign too, thinking that you had the talent to beat a team that won. I think Memphis won 56 games in the regular season. Yes. They were the number two seed. They had the second best record in the league. So I think that part's encouraging, but you also have to, when you look back, peel back the layers of how they lost the series, it's a little bit less encouraging. But also a lot of those players have never been in a close playoff series where they actually had a chance. So that part was, I guess, encouraging. I think the overall, it's unquestionably was a very successful season. You look at it coming in, every place had the Wolves pegged to win like 33, 34, 35 games, and they blew that out of the water. When that came out at the beginning of the year or before the year started, I thought that was kind of a low number. I thought it would be closer to like 38 wins. They should be expected 39 wins. And they even beat that. So I didn't think they'd be this good. I thought they'd be a little under 500, maybe 500 would be like a pretty good mark. And they stepped up and got past that. So I think it was a good season. And I think there was still room to grow for a lot of players. Like, I mean, Anthony Edwards had some stretches where he didn't play very well for a while. Same with D'Angelo Russell. Same with, I mean, Jaden McDaniels for a lot of the season, the first half of the season, did not play good basketball. He was fouling out pretty much almost every game. He couldn't shoot. He couldn't score. And we saw him turn it around towards the end. So I think there's a lot of room for growth that not like, oh, I can see this. If five things happen, there's going to be a ton of improvement. Like, I think there's some very low hanging fruit for improvement for some. I mean, for even Cat, like if Cat could figure out a couple small tweaks to his game, he'd be even that much better. And he's already so good. So I don't think it's like, I guess what I'm getting at, I don't think it's like they over like played expectations and next year they're going to just completely nosedive like the Knicks did or the Hawks did, where they had such success last year and then kind of nosedive. But at the same time, they can't just be complacent with the roster because there is holes in the roster going forward. What do you think would be like priority number one for you if you were trying to decide the moves this offseason? Like, what holes are you trying to fill first?
Well, I think the first thing is we have to really look at D'Angelo. I think we have to really take a look at his development. You know, I was reading up, and I think this is the first year, you know, the 3 years he's been there, he's played the most games this year. He hasn't been injured. I thought that he had a you know, very, very good season, solid season. I thought in the playoffs he was hit or miss, you know, more missed than hit.
He was for sure underwhelming in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yes, you know, more missed than hit. And, you know, and even coming into that game, you know, that series, you know, during the season, averaging 30 points against that team. In the playoffs, they upped the defense. You know, he struggled to really get going. And especially in game six, you know, I thought game six would have been one of those games where he would have, you know, really put his stamp on that game. But it was a struggle for him. You know, other guys stepped up in game six. And, you know, that's one of the areas you have to look at. I think we have to look at, you know, backup for Cat. You know, who's going to be that guy? You know, is it going to be a Naz Reid? Or are they going to go, you know, with another player? And I think the team's over the salary cap too. So, you know, they got a lot of stuff going on here. You know, I thought that the bench was very solid. You know, how many of those pieces on the bench are around next year? Right. You know, where do they go? How do they build? How do they build from here to make this team go to the next level?
Yeah. So I want to touch on D'Angelo Russell a little bit more. D'Lo, I think, had a pretty solid season. I think what I don't want to get lost is the fact that without him, we probably weren't in the playoffs at all because he had a good, he didn't have a great regular season scoring wise. He only scored 18 points per game. He didn't shoot the ball great from three. But I think those are things that, like, you know, next season, he shot 34% from three this season. Next season, he very well could be back up to 37, 38%, which would, you know, bump his scoring up a little bit. But he did shoot a lot better from two than he shot in the past. He averaged the most assists he's ever averaged in his career this season, the least amount of turnovers he's ever averaged in his career this season. And I think he played the best defense he's ever played in his career. Not that that it wasn't a very high bar for him to get over, but I think that role that he played in throughout the regular season, where he's kind of, you know, you're sticking him on the worst wing or guard player, offensive player on the other team, letting him kind of roam and play a free safety, try to, you know, sniff out steals and things like that. I think that's his best defensive role. Then the big question is that how big can that role be in the playoffs? But really, his defense at times was a problem in the playoffs, but really, I don't think it was nearly as big of a problem as his offense. Like, the offense was the part that you could really see D'Angelo Russell was not helping a team in the playoff stretch. And obviously that came down to him getting benched for the end of game six for Jordan McLaughlin. But I don't think I think he tried hard on defense in the playoffs. I think he actually was better on ball than a lot of people probably would have expected, but he did not shoot the ball well. And like you said, they keyed in on him a lot because he did do so much damage against them in the regular season. But that's a big question mark that I know a lot of people are wanting to have solved. He's up for an extension this summer. Yes. And then I think he still has one more year on his contract. So he will be here for sure next year, unless he's traded, but they can extend him past that. And I don't know what an extension number would look like. Obviously, D'Angelo Russell is not a player that's worth the $30 million contract that he's on now. But he's probably a player that's worth a $20 million contract, but I don't know how much money he's going to, you know, some other team might value him more than that just so they can start building something or, you know, have like a solid point guard. So I just don't know the answer to that. I want to really kind of think about where I'm at with D'Angelo Russell and going into the offseason, but I don't want it to get lost that he did have such a good season that helped them get to the playoffs because he was really important.
Yeah. I hope I didn't put it out there or make it.
No, I'm not. Like, you didn't, but
no, but just in
people have
in general, you know, he had a very, very good season. I mean, and you know, when you're coming into this year after really not playing for 2 years, you know, I just read he played his most games this past season, over the last 3 years. So, you know, getting acclimated to game time, again, the playoffs, it's another level in the playoffs. You know, getting acclimated with that as well. You know, he has a lot of room for growth. I think that, you know, looking at the makeup of the team and, you know, him being, you know, one of the leaders on the team, I would hope that he would want to be around and, you know, hopefully, you know, he finds a way to, you know, focus in on his defense, you know, become a better defensive player, because nobody wants to be off the game or off the floor at the end of the game, especially in a closeout game, you know, when you're supposed to be one of the guys, you know, you want your guys out there. You want the coaching staff and your teammates to have belief in you. And unfortunately, you know, game six there, as you said, he did get put on the bench for Jordan, and Jordan did a great job. But, you know, D'Angelo, he has to want to be there.
Right. And I think he wanted to be there, and it was really the offense that kept him off the offense was too stagnant. And as we talked about last time and the time before, I mean, Jordan McLaughlin just gets the ball moving. I think Finch was, knowing how many leads had collapsed because of the lack of offense, Finch decided that putting McLaughlin in, especially with D'Angelo Russell having a poor game in game six too. Finch decided that it was the best move for him to try to keep the offense flowing. But yeah, so D'Angelo Russell is going to be a big part of this offseason talk. I'd probably be surprised if he gets extended this offseason just because of the playoffs, but you never know how that will turn out. But that'll be one thing I'm interested to track as the offseason goes. You also mentioned the bench and who's going to be back next season off the bench. The main bench guys this year was obviously Jordan McLaughlin was the point guard at times. At times he was out of the rotation. He'll be back. He's on he signed a contract this past season. Jaden McDaniels will still be here. Obviously these are barring trades, but he's still under contract. Right. I think he's a key piece that they're not looking to move at all. Torian Prince is not under contract, but it sounds like he would love to be back.
Right.
And I think the locker room, the players on the team would like to have him back. I don't know how the front office and coaching staff feel. But I think he was an important part to this team at times, especially as like a veteran presence. I mean, you had Patrick Beverly, but I think Torian Prince had a different type of veteran presence where he's not
different kind of leadership.
Yeah. And I think I don't want to say fit in, but like as a friend wise, kind of like hung out with the guys more and things like that. So I would love for him to be back. I don't know what type of money it'll cost to have him back. And then you still have, your other bench players. Jalen Noel is going to be under contract. Naz Reid is still under contract. I could see Naz Reid ending up getting traded somewhere. I don't know where or for what, but if they want to upgrade the backup center spot or the power forward spot or whatever, I'm not saying he's the main piece, but he might be tossing a trade there too. The thing that I wanted to, the Wolves don't have any money to spend this offseason outside of, so anything they get is going to either have to be in a trade or they can use their mid-level exception. So like $10 million. So if you can find the cap backup for $10 million, or if you decided to trade D'Angelo Russell for the backup center or the power forward to play next to Cat or whatever it is, then maybe you can get a mid-level point guard to be on the team. But I'm just interested to see how they approach this offseason in general, because it is going to be really interesting to see what they decide is priority number one. I think priority number one is figuring out who is going to play next to Cat / behind Cat and just that whole big man rotation, because the Wolves do not have bigs. Cat is their only true big. Naz Reid is not super big, especially since he's lost weight. He's, built more like a four, and then Vanderbilt and McDaniels definitely are not big. So what they're going to do with that rotation is going to be we talked about that last year. I mean, that's been talked for 2 years and nothing's came of it. I think this year they're going to have to do something, especially knowing how some parts of the season went. There were some times where they really got killed on the offensive glass that lost them games. That was part of this whole playoff series, was the offensive glass was killing them. So how they shore that up this offseason is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I look at it, when you say bigs, there's not the big in my mind in the NBA has really, you have your Steven Adams, you have your Joel Embiids, you have your
Jokic.
The bigs, they're not really, that big post, the post up, demanding the ball in the post. So I look at it more like a hybrid four, a guy who can, who can rebound the basketball, who can run the floor, who can finish on the break, who can stretch the floor with shooting the three, and who can pursue rebounds, like crazy. And I think that's that guy we're looking for next to Cat. And, when Cat comes off the floor, maybe that guy can move down, and vice versa. And then having, you know, some of the guys left over, you know, from the bench, coming in, you know, Vanderbilt did a outstanding job in that role. So yeah, it will be very interesting to see who they go, who will be available, who they might be able to snatch up. And I think you're going to see, you know, just from the outside, and I have more inside look, but from the outside looking in, looking at the T-Wolves Twitter account and looking at their Instagram and stuff like that, they're doing a good job marketing the team and marketing the players. And it looks like those guys have a camaraderie together. And you might have some veterans who might want to be part of this now.
Right.
You know, they can see the winnings happening. They can see the culture. The ownership group has come in and they're doing a terrific job. The fan base has been outstanding. A lot of players, you know, they want to be part of that. And, you know, you have a 7-2 this year. Hopefully we can move up the ladder next year, and make it even better.
Right. I think there could be, you know, some players that think, you know, they need someone like me, and then maybe they could be a 4 or 5 seed instead of that 7 seed, or maybe a 3 seed, you know, fighting for home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. I'm just interested who those players are. You talked about someone fitting next to Cat and then potentially sliding in. The name that's been, I mean, kind of a hot name before, I mean, at the trade deadline last offseason, Miles Turner is a guy that theoretically fits well with the Timberwolves. He can knock down a three. He's also a fantastic defender, especially at the rim. And I think that you could get away with probably playing him and Cat together for, you know, 15 minutes a night, and then he takes Cat's 15 minutes that he's off the floor and plays the center spot too. So, and maybe he's the center the whole time and Cat's the power forward, or however it works, but he's been a guy. So someone like that, I don't know who the other guys like that are none of them are going to be as good at defenders, because Miles Turner is one of the best rim defenders in the NBA, but even just like a minimalized version of that would be a good fitting piece. Jared Vanderbilt's a good fitting piece. He's not as much of a rim protector, but he is really versatile in defense, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have the offensive game that lets the rest of the offense kind of flow. And at times Towns does a good job of finding Vanderbilt in the dunker spot or cutting to the basket. And at times it's just like, he's a complete liability out there. So I wish he could shoot. I wish he could finish better, all those things, but that's not something you can just teach in 1 year. So I think they definitely need help in that area. Jaden McDaniels, I don't think is big enough to be the full-time power forward. I want to see him playing on the wing. I'm hoping next season, my hope is that if nobody gets traded, say D'Angelo Russell's still here, I would love for the Timberwolves lineup to be Russell, Edwards at the 2, McDaniels at the 3, whoever you have at the 4, whether it is Vanderbilt or someone you bring in, and then Cat at the 5, and then having like Beverly off the bench, because I think it's going into his third year, it's going to be time for McDaniels to start ascending as a starter in the league, you know, figuring out who he is as a wing, not playing too much at the 4. And then you also are getting Edwards playing at the 2, and that's causing, I mean, the length of that lineup is very long. D'Angelo Russell's long, Ant's big, long. Jaden McDaniels, obviously, is a crazy long player. And then Cat's not a huge center, but he still has like a 7'4 wingspan. He's 6'11. So there's a lot of size to that lineup. And I think that's something the Wolves could use defensively to counteract maybe some of their limits on that side of the ball.
I think, is that a lineup they used when Beverly was hurt?
It probably is a lineup.
I think that is the lineup they used when I was there for the New Jersey Nets game, because Beverly was hurt. And I remember McDaniel starting. And I'm almost positive that's the lineup. And that's a great size. you hit it there. You said about the length of that lineup there. That's great size. And, you know, it really does put put people in their true positions as well. You know, now Pat's coming off the bench. He can play one or the two. But and then actually, as you said, putting Ant at the two. Ooh, that's a good lineup there. Good lineup. I like where you're going with that, coach.
Yeah, so that lineup played only – so with Vanderbilt in there at the four, that lineup only played in one game for like 1 minute.
Okay.
But – oh, shoot, that was playoffs. Okay, never mind. I was going to say I didn't think that was right. Okay, that lineup played in 19 games, averaging 8 minutes per game. So they tried that lineup for 150 minutes this season.
Gotcha.
I don't know how well that worked out, like the numbers, if their offense was good or defense was good, but that was a lineup. I guess I kind of thought that was probably going to be the starting lineup the whole year.
Going into the season, right.
And they had some weird starting lineups at the beginning of the year. I think like Josh Okogie maybe started some games and Beverly wasn't starting right away. And it was just all kind of mishmash and whatever. But Jaden McDaniels, if he takes a step, if Edwards takes a step, right, like that could be a really dangerous lineup. And you could have that lineup on the floor for 20 minutes a night. That could be a big thing for the team next season. Yeah, well, so that's my hope, is that McDaniels can be that guy and that Beverly can be more of a backup and come in later too. So,
well, McDaniels, he showed in game six that he can, you know, he can get it going when he's, because he had a very good game six. I like where you're going with that lineup. It sounds like a good lineup there.
Let's move, as long as you're okay with it, let's move away from Timberwolves talk. Let's go into basketball that's still happening right now, because that's the most relevant thing right now. We have four series going on. Miami Philadelphia is a 2-1 series now after Embiid came back. Phoenix Dallas is also a 2-1 series after Dallas just won yesterday. Milwaukee and Boston and Golden State Memphis are both tied 1-1. Let's start at that Philly-Miami series. You were at game three yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Joel Embiid came back with a broken face. And he didn't necessarily dominate the game. He only had 18 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist. But his presence on the court made all the difference for Philly. What did you notice watching that game? And just what Embiid means for them, and then what he means for their chances this whole series, if they can come back.
Well, you know, first and foremost, the energy was just, you know, a home game. The energy was just outstanding inside the arena. And, you know, not knowing, you know, living here, not knowing for the last, few days whether he was going to play or not. People have been on edge. So it finally comes out that he's going to play. You know, it's mayhem at the arena. What I noticed first and foremost was the impact he had on the defensive end. You know, just being able, you know, they do a lot of switching as well. He's able to get out there, get in a stance, switch, keep people in front of him, you know, able to move his feet. They were able to run the offense through him on the offensive side. I really feel he allowed, I mean, Danny Green was 7 for 9 from three last night, 21 points. He hasn't had 21 points all year. You know, he was getting open shots. You know, everyone just seemed to play better. You know, they always say home helps, but everyone just played better. They look more comfortable. Now I think Tobias, he may have stepped back a little bit as far as scoring, but you know, his energy and everything was great. And then, you know, Tyrese Maxey, you know, he just has the knockout fourth quarter and just basically, you know, they run away with that game in the end. And now we have a series, 2-1, you know, with game four at home tomorrow.
I think one big thing that happened in last night's game that wasn't happening before was Doc Rivers didn't play DeAndre Jordan. And I mean, part of it's because Embiid is back, but
right,
DeAndre Jordan just he's not an impactful player at this stage of his career. And they went with Paul Reed as the backup in game three there. And I think that was, that was the move. DeAndre Jordan didn't play against Toronto. So it's not like Doc Rivers was loving to play him. He was pretty much playing him out of necessity, but it's pretty clear that he was negatively impacting them in those first two games. And he didn't play in this last one. Paul Reed played pretty solidly as Embiid's backup. That's only like a 12-minute role. And I think against Miami, when they don't have huge backup bigs, it's not, you know, it's not a disadvantage to have a smaller Paul Reed out there. But I think, yeah, that was big that they didn't have to play DeAndre Jordan. They could replace him with Embiid is probably quite the upgrade for a team that's really looking for some juice. So, yeah, they got two in series. Doc,
yep.
And they...
Doc has this...
Go for it.
Sorry to interrupt you there. Doc has this thing where he says DeAndre only plays against the big centers, and he uses Paul, for these other teams. But when Joel was out, he started DeAndre those two games because they feel that Paul Reed stays. He doesn't know how to stop fouling.
Right.
So,
and we know who that is. There. We know how that goes with it. So, but yeah, they got another game at home. I think they play on Monday.
No, tomorrow night, Sunday night.
Sunday night. Okay.
Sunday at 8. Yeah. Sunday
so they play, they got a chance to even it back up. And then, then there would be a series. Do you think, do you think they're going to win this series? Do you think they'll come win it if Embiid's able to play the rest of the way? Cause I think it's a pretty good matchup. I don't trust Miami that much. I don't trust Miami that much. And I don't know why that is, but they feel to me like a team that at any moment, like could get cold and they're not going to win. So yeah, I don't trust. I mean, they scored 79 points last night. That's a low score, even for the playoffs. That's a low scoring game now.
Yeah, I feel the Sixers can win this series. I know that, after game one and game two, people around here are ready to sell their homes and move somewhere else, because they just couldn't believe how bad that showing was. But, I think Joe coming back again, puts guys in the right positions. Guys are getting, open looks. The defense picked up. The offense looked better. And, for a day, for 24 hours, 48 hours, everything's good. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Let's move to the next series. That's the Phoenix-Dallas series. Phoenix was obviously the best team in the league this season, best record. Really seemed like nobody could play with them. Dallas was able to win last night's game, and that was a game in Dallas. And they pretty much won it on the back of Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic, each of them scoring 28 and 26 points. Do you think Dallas has a shot in this series? Like, I just think Phoenix is too good that Phoenix could just go win the next two handedly and it's just over. I really don't think Dallas has a shot to actually win the series. Maybe they can steal another game, but I'd be surprised if they even forced a game seven, because I think Phoenix is just that good. And I think Dallas just has to play to their max to have a shot at taking them down.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think, Dallas came out, they played a very good floor game. Jalen Brunson made shots last night. Luka was Luka. But when you get down to it, it just seems like Phoenix has too many pieces. They're focused, they're on a mission. And if it goes six games, I would be shocked. If it goes seven, I'd really be shocked. So I'm still looking at Phoenix in five.
Yeah. And I think that's fair. They won the other two games. The game two, they won by 20. And I think game one was a little bit closer game.
Yeah.
7 points. But I just, the way, like any close game, I think those with Chris Paul and Devin Booker, you're going to close it out because that's when they play the best, is when the fourth quarter comes around. And it's crunch time. It's time to go down. And that's what they do. So I don't think that they're too worried about dropping one game to Dallas. I think they're going to be just fine with that. The series that's the most interesting, well, the next two, I guess, are pretty interesting. The Milwaukee-Boston series is a that's a series of, like, I mean, the first game we saw, it was all, like, hard-nosed defense in both games, really. But the Celtics just could get nothing going in game one. Then in game two, the Bucks could get nothing going. Obviously, no Chris Middleton, hurts. But, like, the defense they've been throwing at Giannis has been individually at Giannis has been pretty impressive. But game two, like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this one. This one's like a coin flip for me. I really don't know, because both teams have great defense. We saw Giannis and Brooke Lopez lock up the paint in game one. The Celtics could get nothing. And I just don't know. This is probably the closest to a coin flip I felt about any playoff series, all playoffs long.
I was flipping the coin over here for you. Yeah, because I totally agree with you. I mean, and you hit it perfect. You know, game one, we saw, you know, the Milwaukee dominance. Game two, we see Boston build that wall and keep Giannis out of lane. And we see Boston's dominance that looked more like the Nets series, you know, than they did in game one. And, you know, they did that without the defensive player of the year. You know, Smart was out of the game. I just feel that this is a 7-game series. You know, I think on our network, I picked Phoenix versus Milwaukee for the championship. This Boston team, though, man, they look good. You know, when Jaylen Brown's rolling like that, and when Tatum's rolling like that, and, you know, you got the guys buy into the roles. I mean, they are tough-nosed. You know, they play together defensively. They just know their jobs. They know their roles, and it just – it's going to be a great series. So, game three's today, so we'll see.
Yeah, game three is – I mean – game three might happen for a lot of people listening to this because it's this afternoon. But yeah, that series is just one that I like watching. I like both teams too. It's a series where, I mean, they both have such likable players. Giannis to me is the best player in the league right now. I think overall he's just played really, really well. For sure, top three player in the league. And then Boston, the interesting thing about Boston is they're a young team, but they got guys that have been there before. Jason Tatum's been to the conference finals before. I think Jaylen Brown was on that team too. Like, they've been deep in the playoffs. They're not a Timberwolves team where it's their first, you know, their first real look at the playoffs. They've been there before. They're going up against the reigning champions. They have a slight help with no Chris Middleton that does hurt Boston, or excuse me, it does hurt Milwaukee, but this Boston team, I think Ime Udoka has coached very, very well this season. I mean, Boston at the beginning of the year, it was like, are like, we got to trade either Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. We got to blow this up. We got to do something. And he just stayed the tide, made some adjustments. And now, I mean, they dominated the second half of the season. So I don't really have a rooting interest in this one. I also don't know who I think is going to win. But I'm just glad that we have this series that's so close that we can just enjoy basketball. I'm almost confident this series goes 7 games. Like, I don't see a scenario where it doesn't. And now maybe it won't, but that would be my guess, is that this series goes 7, because these teams are just, they're going to make the adjustment. Someone's going to come out win. The other team's going to make the adjustment. They're going to steal one, and it's just going to be back and forth for the rest of the way. So that's a great series. I'm interested to see what happens today, because the series is in – or the game be today.
They're in Milwaukee.
We'll see if the fans show up for their reigning champs and if they can push it 2-1, or if Boston steals one. I don't know. It's going to be a great series. Next series too, I think, is
the playoffs are very good. I just have to say that the playoffs
basketball are very good. I want to backtrack a little bit. the higher seed won every round or every series in round one. Right. The ones beat all the eights. That I wonder when the last time that happened was, because it makes logical sense. But like, I think it's been a while since every top seed won their series.
I don't know how long it's been, but
I don't think it's going to happen. Some lower seed's going to win this round. I don't think it's going to be only ones and two seeds going into the next round, but it could be. It could be. I just don't think it is. But let's talk about Golden State Memphis. Obviously, Memphis is a team that the Wolves just had a series against. The Wolves really played well against. And I think if you look at Ja Morant's stat line, his averages over the series, pretty solid. But if you watch the games, you knew that the Wolves really took him out of a lot of the big chunks of a lot of the games. And then he'd have, you know, bigger fourth quarters and things like that. But like, their defense on him was actually really good. And now we're seeing him in the Golden State series, and they just don't have the answer for Ja. Not saying that they're not, I mean, they obviously have won one game, and I think that they still have a very solid chance at winning the series, but they haven't been scheming Ja Morant out of this series like the Timberwolves did in the first one. Ja scored 34 points in game one. He scored 47 points in game two. And in the Timberwolves series, he scored 32 points in game one and 30 points in game five. And other than that, he had one other 20-point game. Everything else was 17 or less. So total opposite ends of the spectrum from Ja Morant here, which obviously for Memphis is a good thing if they can get him going. Where do you see this series going? I mean, this is a tough one for me to pick too. I don't think it's as much as a coin flip as the last one, but I could see this one easily going either way.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, going into the series, especially after watching Memphis play Minnesota, and then watching game one, I just thought that Golden State would, you know, and they still could, you know, win this series in five. And then game two happened. Gary Payton Jr. goes down, who has really been the only person that really looks like they can stay in front of Ja right now. He goes down, and you know, Ja ends up going for 47. They win that game, and you know, it's a series now. It's a, you know, Golden State's going home. They did what they were supposed to do. They got one in Memphis, but they're going back home now. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play, how they match up with Ja, because I mean, what, 47, 34? I mean, he's 91 points in two games, man. It's like, you know, that's crazy. You know, he's averaging 45 points a game. I mean, it's, you know, some crazy stuff there.
What's crazy is I'm looking at his stats over here, and he took 31 shots in both games. He didn't, 22 shots was the most shots the Wolves let him have. I mean, he didn't even get that many shots up. It's like his game has totally changed. He took 11 threes in game one, 12 threes in game two. He took like 12 threes all series. I think it's less than 20. He took six games. He took 2, 4, 3, 2, 4, 5 threes. That's it. He made 4 in game one. That's the same amount he made in the whole series. He made 4 threes in game one, 5 in game two. Because you were just saying the Warriors had one guy that can stay in front of him, but Ja Morant's doing a lot of damage behind the arc. And threes are shots you can get whenever you want them. But so you think he'd be blowing by going to the rim because nobody can stay in front of him. And he's doing that too, but he's also shooting more threes. I don't know why or how he's doing it, but he's been really dominant, and he's still passing the ball really well, which he did against the Timberwolves. He's still rebounding the ball really well. I don't know what the answer is for Golden State. Who do you put on? Obviously, Peyton was a good person. You're not going to put Steph Curry on him. They've had Jordan Poole on him at times. not working. Andrew Wiggins is long, but not at, I mean, nobody's as quick as Ja Morant, but I don't think he's quite quick enough to stay in front of him. Obviously, Draymond Green's their best defender, but you need him in another role. So he's not going to be able to stay in front either. I don't know if they have an answer, and they don't have the true rim protection to stop him either. So I just, Klay Thompson's lost a step since coming back from injury. I don't know where they,
who they turn
look
to
for answers. Yeah. But weirdly enough, I'm still fairly, not fairly, I'm still leaning to Golden State winning the series. And I can't tell you why, really. I can't tell you why. I think that they're just like the more seasoned veteran team that's going to be able to, at the end of the day, get down. I mean, even with Ja Morant scoring 34 points and then 47 points, they won a game and they lost by five in another game. So I'm interested to see if they can slow him down and what that does for them. But really, like, they're kind of, I think it's the opposite of the Timberwolves thing. The Timberwolves are choosing anybody but Ja Morant can beat us. And the Warriors are kind of just like, Ja can try to beat us on his own and we'll try to take away everything else. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm leaning Golden State. Where are you? How are you feeling about this series? And
yeah, I'm leaning Golden State as well. Like I said, I mean, I just think that they're too seasoned. You know, they've been in these situations. You know, it's going to be big to see what adjustments they make tonight. You know, one of the things that you mentioned, you know, when Ja gets by that first level and he starts to go or attack the basket, there's not anyone that's really up in his stratosphere with him right now. So he's shooting the ball. He's getting little layups wide open, whatnot, getting into the basket, going left a lot. I mean, he's really, if they haven't figured out that this dude goes left 80% of the time, then, you know, that's something that they're missing. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a somewhat of a wall built for Ja tonight. You know, trying to keep him out of the lane and trying to make other guys, you know, hopefully make shots. Because right now, Ja has shown that he can keep them in the game and he can also beat you.
Yeah, he's definitely doing what I think a lot of people maybe expected him to do against the Timberwolves. He's actually doing that this one in this series. I think a lot of it comes down to, like we said, they don't have that rim protection. Draymond Green, good to come over and tag. But he's not, he's not Rudy Gobert. He's not Miles Turner. He's not a shot blocker. He's just getting in your way. And with Ja Morant, he'll just go over you, around you. It doesn't matter. He's so athletic and agile, even in the air, that he can kind of get a shot off whenever he wants to. But yeah, I'm going Golden State. I think it probably goes six or seven. But I think I just have to stick with the team that has experience. They've been there. That's not a knock against the Grizzlies, but
not at all. Not at all.
This is their second real playoff run. So I think I'm going Warriors, but that could change. I mean, things happen all the time. Another thing that doesn't help is Dylan Brooks won't be playing in that game tonight because he's suspended for his flagrant on Gary Payton. So that part's going to hurt. That's another defender that you can put on Steph or Clay or Wiggins or whoever it is. You're just losing, you know, your best perimeter defender too, which is never a good thing when it comes to the playoffs. So I don't think that helps them.
I thought I heard them talking about hoping Andre Iguodala could come back and guard Ja, and I was like, oh boy, Andre's.
I don't think that's the answer either.
I don't think that's the answer.
I think maybe 5 years ago.
Oh yes, 5 years ago for sure. Not now.
I don't think that's the answer. But Finals MVP, so like yes, maybe he still got something. I don't know. That's not the answer. I don't know what the answer is. There probably isn't an answer, and that's the hope for the Grizzlies, is that there's no answer for Ja. Hopefully he can take over enough, and maybe you can get more out of Jaren Jackson Jr., who still, correct, I don't remember how he played in game one, but game two, he also was not very effective in that game. Obviously they won, but yeah, game one, he did play good. He had 33 points. Yeah, I thought he played good.
One of the games I knew he broke out,
but he only had 12 crazy points in game two. So yeah, I think they'll need him. I mean, they're going to need, that's their second best player, should be their second best player. Desmond Bane's been playing like it, but they need him to step up this series if they want to win too. So, and I don't know if I can, I don't know if I trust him to do it, to be honest. Like, we haven't seen it yet. And I guess time will tell too. So, but that game's tonight. The other games we said, Milwaukee and Boston play
this afternoon.
They
play this afternoon. Yes.
And then we're going, you said tomorrow they got obviously that
more
Philly game and then the Phoenix Dallas. I just love the playoff. I mean, like, doesn't get better than this, right? And right. There's some really good teams left. Like, these probably are the eight best teams in the league. And to put a Timberwolves spin on it, the Wolves were close to being one of these eight teams. So, like, close. I guess they can take some, maybe make that fuel the fire for this offseason. But yeah, I think that's all I got to talk about. You want to talk about?
Yeah, it's a good day, man. Good chat.
But so I guess we'll be back probably sometime this coming week, talk more about the playoffs, if any Timberwolves things come up. I just want to give a shout out to Dave Benz, the Timberwolves play-by-play guy, didn't get his contract renewed for next season, which I think is a bad move because I think he's one of the better commentators in the league, but I don't know what the TV channel is going to do for someone next year, but I just want to give a shout out to him because he was a reason a lot of people watch basketball, watch Timberwolves basketball. People always said league pass wise, a lot of people would say that him and Jim Peterson were like one of their top five favorite commentators to listen to. I don't know if you liked his style, whatever, but I personally did. And I'm kind of sad that he's going to be gone, but nothing we can do about it now, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I did get a chance to hear him and Jim do games this year, and I thought he did a wonderful job. It's really interesting. You know, when I played for the Wolves, Kevin Harlan was our guy.
Right.
So, you know, yeah. Kevin Harlan, he's, you know, where he is now. So, right. You know, maybe Dave's moving up the ladder as well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And, you know, wish him the best moving on.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have today. So, like I said, we'll be back soon. Thank you, Doug, for finding time to do this. And we'll definitely talk, hopefully before the first round ends, if not right after the first round's over, move into the second round. So again, this has been the Believe in Timberwolves podcast presented by Bet Online. I'm Brendan Hedke and he's Doug West, and we'll be back soon. Peace out.
Peace.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.